That's right. You know what, you remember what I told him about Bilam? Bilam, there is Ne'um HaGeva, Shetum HaHayim. These are the words of a man who is Shetum HaHayim. But she said, what's Shetum HaHayim? It's not Shetum, Shetum, we say Shin. Shetum means that the eyes open. What do you mean open? Open means you see the whole place open because it's empty. The eye was taken out, and he wouldn't be able to see. They didn't put a false eye for him at that time. The eye was out. That means he couldn't see without that eye. That's Shetum HaHayim. But the Targum didn't say that. Memar Gavra de Shapir Hazeh. Words of a man that could see very well. The Targum is exactly the opposite of what Rashi said, what the Peshat. How come? In order to explain it, Gemara said, Bil'am Someh Be'ahat Me'inav Haya. Bil'am was blind in one of his eyes. He had only one eye. That's why they said Shetum Ha'ayin. One is Shetum and one was regular, normal. The books that ask the question, Bil'am was Tameh Un Tumeh. Double Tameh. Very, very impure man. How come that Hashem would appear to him? You say Hashem did not appear to him directly. Maybe send him an angel. Still, he doesn't deserve even an angel to come talk to him. In order to deserve an angel to talk to him, or Kadosh Baruch Hu appear to him, he has to have some Kiddushah. There's no Kiddushah at all in Bil'am. They said, Kadosh Baruch Hu made one eye, made him blind with one eye. That eye, there's no Kiddushah, but there was no Tum'ah in it, because there isn't. He couldn't do any Avera with it. Then through that one that there's no Tum'ah, he appeared to him. I told them a little story of the reason the paper was during the wartime. It was Second World War. A Nazi general was in his office. He made a very big celebration, party, his birthday. While he was enjoying himself at the party, he told one of the soldiers under his command, "Go bring me a Jew over here." He went outside, he picked up one Jew, brought him in. The Jew was shivering. You know, the general wants him in. When he said, "Listen, you Jew, you see me? Look at me. See, I have two eyes. I want you to know these two eyes look exactly the same. But one is real, one is false, artificial. I want you to tell me which one is artificial. If you would know, I'll give you a good meal, which you didn't have for a long time. And if you wouldn't know, you know what will happen to you." So, okay. The Jew took a chance. He said, left one. He said, "Yes, you're right. But I want you to tell me, how do you know? If you just threw a word or you didn't know?" He said, "I'm afraid to tell you." He said, "No, I promise you I won't do anything." He said, "No, I'm afraid you will get hurt if I tell you." He said, "No, I promised you I won't do anything." So he told him, "I looked at your eyes. I said, I'll look at the eye that has the least of the cruelty and it. And I knew this is the false one. Because you're real impossible that one have the cruelty in you."
But he hoped it was promised after he told us that.
As well long as he was inside in that office, who knows when he went out. This is what I said. Bil'am, this is the eye, that good one. The one that he was blind with. The other eye is not good. Cannot. The books, they said anything. I said, "Why is Shetum HaHayim?" They said, "One eye." I said, "To show you that Bil'am really didn't have two eyes. Everybody has to have two kind of look. He has to have a look to know the greatness of Hashem and to know how low he is himself. Bil'am knew that Hashem is great, but he didn't know that he is what he is. He felt so much about himself. That's his Shetumah Ayin. He didn't have only wonder. Ah, Bobby Chapa. I'm doing the pen more. Sunday night. Okay. Look, gentlemen, now that Morris came, we'll start. Last week, I was talking about Basar Shenit Alam and Ayin. Today, I will go to the next subject, which is Meliha. Now we have to get up for the book. That's cool? Cool or not? Good, and I left the door open that it shouldn't say too cold.
Oh, no, we'll see.
If we want it cooler, we have to close the door. Yeah. Now, there is one of the mitzvot in the Torah, v'chol dam lo tochilu, not to eat dam, of behema, chaya, va'och, not like halev. Halev there is only in behema. Halev of chaya is permitted. Halev of permitted. Halev of behema is not allowed. And I told you, halev, the fat. The fat has two kinds of fat, one called shomen, one called halev. The halev is asur, and hayab karet, the one who eats halev. Shomen is permitted. Just
the
as there is halev.
The off has halev?
Yeah, but it's permitted. That's called shomen. The whole, the fat of the off will be called all shomen, which is permitted. The same thing, haya, deer or others. Of course they have, but still they tell you the halev haya mutar, the Torah said. Sometimes we have a doubt, something included in behema or haya, like the buffalo. Buffalo is a doubt if it is in a behema or haya. Requires shahita, and the halev is asur. Is it kosher or no? But requires shahita, but the halev is asur because
buffalo
maybe it
is
behema.
Buffalo is kosher.
Yeah.
That is
an old one. Yeah. But this is, anyhow, we'll go, they call it koi. Maybe the buffalo of today is a different buffalo of what's written in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that a buffalo, safek haya, safek behema. It tzarich shahita, and the halbo asur.
The difference between haya and behema is one is domesticated.
Yeah.
And one is not.
Well, like the deer, yeah. Not what?
Not domesticated. Buffalo is a wild animal.
So, then isn't the deer? Isn't the deer?
It is a wild animal, sure. Like the famous one is
no, the Shulchan Aruch brings the word buffalo. But maybe the buffalo he talks is different buffalo of ours. I can't tell. Like the fish. They say the swordfish. Mm. There is in Shulchan Aruch, in the books, not Shulchan Aruch. Dagaherib mutar. But the Herib of today, they say here in America, is asur. Why? Because it doesn't have there, huh?
What's the name of the buffalo? Arabi, now the
Baba. We buy a metal Torah.
No, but the Torah is
weird.
What they say buffalo?
Shorabah. Okay, Samu. Johnny, the ox of the field, of the wilderness. Okay, Samu. Shorabah. I'm sure there is. I will later show it and cite it. Now there is, besides halev, there is dam. Dam, we are not supposed to have any dam, drinking, eating dam, because lo tochilu, v'chol dam lo tochilu, and v'minan, the person eats dam, v'nechreta nevesha. Of course, the question which dam the Torah is speaking about, so the dam that comes at the time of the Shahita, the main dam of the Torah that comes straight from the animal by itself. But the dam that you take and the meat and you cook it, is it a suda or raita or the banan? There is big mahloket about it. Dam shibishirok, the oraita or the rabbanan. However, if we say the oraita or the rabbanan, you must take the blood out before you cook the meat. Because you cook the meat, if you took the meat and you ate it the way it is, raw, as I said last week, you take a piece of of raw meat, and you want to eat it, the blood's still in it, you're allowed. As long as the blood is in it, did not come out, it's not asur. Once it will come out, will be asur. And if you cook it, well, being cooked in boiling water, it's going to go out and in, out and in. Once it comes out, it is asur. It goes in into the meat again, you're eating duck. That's why you cannot eat the duck. Unless you grill it, you take the piece of meat, put it over the fire. What comes out, what doesn't come out, it's okay, it's permitted. It's in yet, didn't come out. Not like in cooking that goes out and in. In order to cook meat, what do? You have to salt it. Kosher it with salt, and you take, the salt takes the blood out. That's the nature of the salt, has the power to take salt out. But in order to be effective, you have to soak the meat first, or wash it first. This is the halakha of Mara. Tzarich le'adiyah habasa kodem eliha. I told you last week, unfortunately, in this country, almost this is being forgotten already. Why? I remember when we were children, we used to make meliha. I'm sure Mr. David Cohen, Rabbi David Cohen, remembers it. In his lifetime, they made a lot of salting. Didn't they? And they made, no, besides kippur, the chicken, even meat.
Meat, yeah.
They used to buy the meat and salt it home.
Salt it and salt it. One time, I can massage the mirror.
The result, the salt is faster.
Half the time.
You see? That's what I told him last week.
That's your halakha.
Remember, Rani?
That's your halakha.
Maktubi
al-Zibah. Maktubi? Yeah. Ana mashita. Ana mashita. Ando
nascha.
Jabba min jiddo.
Al-Wai, Salad Wai, because the man is very liberal. The Mura, you know what I mean? But Talia, you know what I mean?
The woman puts a little chemical in the soap.
They go and buy kosher meat, they figure it's kosher. No, you have to go through a procedure of soaking it and salting it. And they don't know how. They don't know. Maybe I guarantee you 95% of the women
today don't have kosher meat. If you go to Miami or Chicago and buy the meat,
and if you happen to be in a different state,
uh-huh.
Will your wife know?
He brings a point that I mentioned last week. Very good. I was saying that last week. Yeah, I was saying that last week. That unfortunately it was forgotten, these laws and this mitzvah. And originally they never had. They bought the meat from the butcher. They came home, they salted it, they koshered it, and then they cooked it. But then they opened here new stores of glut. And was the ruling of all the glut stores that they must kosher the meat, because they don't want to make avera in selling meat to someone, and maybe he will not kosher it. Then you are a cause for them to eat meat, and you help them to eat meat, not kosher. From this, they started koshering the meat in all the glut stores. But the kosher stores don't. They don't kosher it only on request. And many of the kosher stores, the owners cannot be trusted altogether. Therefore, you will have to kosher it in the house. And you go out of town, out of New York, nobody.
Take it back to the store in order to grind it for us.
To grind it, yeah. That's true. And I don't know how did you trust him.
Those grinders, who's going
to make it? I don't know how did you trust him to grind it for you. But at the same time, he was grinding another meat which is unkosher.
No, he had the regular.
Huh?
He had the kosher grinder and unkosher.
Yes. Shall I say it? Afshar.
Yes.
Danny, he told you I have unkosher. Maybe he will kosher. He will grind you with unkosher. Anyhow, let's go to the kosher of the meat. Shahan Aruch said, how do they kosher the meat? צריך להדיע הבשר קודם מליחה. First of all, you have washing. Why? If you take salt, here it's written wash. Well, I didn't come to, let's go one step at a time. He said, why? Because on the surface of the meat, there is blood. That blood which is behind, they call it real, is not in the meat, will not come out of the salt. The salt will be filled with it and lose its power, will not be able to bring the blood that in the meat out. That's why the first washing, there will be no blood on the surface, then the blood will have the power to, the salt will have the power to bring the blood out. This is the idea. Now, he washed the meat. After he had a very large piece of meat, he washed it, then he cut it into two, three pieces before salting. And he wants to salt it again. He has to wash it again. Because the place you cut, again there is blood on the surface, you have to wash it.
How about the
mala?
Is it all blood?
The mala? The liver, he's asking. Yeah. We'll come to it later. Now, but he comes and said, but if a person will come to ask me, Rabbi, how should I kosher the meat? Even though we told you if you wash it and you put salt, it's good enough. Don't do that. And I will say, first you soak it in water for half an hour. Izaher l'shiroto chatzi sha'a. And then, uladiho etem, b'mei ha'shiriya. Why? Because sometimes the meat is a little bit hard and the salt wouldn't have the strength and the power to take the blood out. You have to soften the meat. Therefore, soak it in the water, will get softer.
After cold.
And then,
Shema Yisrael.
Shema Yisrael, the troublemaker. I told him last week, a chicken. To take to pluck the feathers out, they had a machine here, water machine. Did you remember it? And they were warning them to be careful not to use the hot water. Because once you have hot water, just like you cook it with, without kosherings, without salting it. That's why it must be with cold water. Now, again, cold also, not very cold, I mean, room temperature. Regular cold water. Not icy.
When you mention soaking it in water, you gotta say what kind of water?
Are
they cold or hot?
You come, unfortunately, you came one show, you didn't come to the show before. you should hear the first show too. Now.
How come the damn of the fish is not a soup?
The what?
The damn of the fish. The
yeah.
Not a soup.
Damn that he mutta. We'll come to it. Huh? The Torah didn't need even shechita.
You know that.
Yeah. Dam dagim utar. Why? First of all, say, why dam asur? Awesome. The Torah tells you, dam dagim, it doesn't have the nature to make a person cruel. But dam animals will give him a cruelty. Now, then he said, suppose a person wants to soak it a little bit longer. Not half an hour. I want to put it an hour, two. Would I be allowed or not? Before salting it. What do you say, Ahmed Abin?
I say mutar.
You say mutar?
Yeah, you could.
Is there a limited time? Yeah. Suppose I soaked it for the whole day yesterday. Yeah. I came the next day kosher it. Huh?
No, not all
the time. Why not? I didn't have time. I put it in the water. I said, tomorrow when I come back to my house, I'm closing the house now. I'll come tomorrow. The minute I come, I'll kosher it.
Not in tabachat.
Huh?
Not in tabachat.
Tabachat.
It's cooked? No, it's cooked.
Yeah, I don't know. You put something in a freezer after tabach.
It becomes soft. The Gemara says, listen, he has a good point. Gemara said, you cannot cook the meat without salting it. But also the Gemara said, kavush, harehu kibushal. Let me give you two things, two sentences that is in Gemara. Maliyah, harehu kiroteyah. Kavush, harehu kibushal. What does it mean, maliyah, harehu kiroteyah? Suppose I take a kosher meat and unkosher meat. I put them together and I salt them. I didn't cook them together. If you cook together kosher meat with unkosher meat, what will be? The whole thing unkosher. Because it takes the taste of the unkosher meat goes into the kosher meat. Oh, but if I didn't cook it, I salt it together, will be permitted? The kosher meat will be okay or will be forbidden? We say would be forbidden. Why? Now the kosher meat will absorb from the unkosher meat, but really will not absorb light. Why? Because as long as the meat is busy, like a person who is busy to throw up, he cannot eat. The same thing with the meat. The meat that comes, the blood comes out, busy to the blood to go out, cannot go in. Therefore, the kosher meat that you are putting the salt has to take the blood out. When taking out, cannot absorb from the kosher meat. Therefore, why would it be forbidden? Well, it would be forbidden because after the blood comes out, comes juice of the meat. They call it, even though the color would be red, you know, many times you make shish kebab, you know. You take shish kebab after they grill it, take it, you put it in bread. After you put it in the bread, you see the bread, the pizza becomes red. Still permitted. You take and you eat, they permit you. Why? So this is already, once it's grilled, was roasted, it's not blood anymore. What is it? Juice. We call it in Hebrew tzira. Tzira means the juice of the meat. Even though it's the color is red, not the juice of the meat. The juice of the meat is permitted, but of kosher meat, unkosher meat, that you put it together with the kosher. Therefore, when you salt, at the time that the blood will finish to come out, it will absorb from the juice of the meat and kosher and will make it forbidden. That's what we call maliyah, something that you salt, just like you boil it. If you boil two pieces of meat, kosher and unkosher will be forbidden. The same thing with if you salt them together. That's one ruling that there is in Gemara. There's another ruling called kavush, harehu kibushal. If you pickle something, it, after being pickled, is considered like it was cooked. Therefore, if you pickle meat, kosher meat, or unkosher meat, even though it's cold and cold, not in hot, you don't boil anything, still will become like cooking it. Because the power of pickling it, brings out the juice and will absorb into the kosher meat. That's the regular pickling. What's called the pickling? They tell you also, if you soak something in water a long time, becomes considered pickled. Because what's pickling? Pickling, of course, today you pickle not only in water. Take cowbees and put it in water. Even if you don't put all the other things with it, the salt and the spices and that, still it will pickle, but won't give taste. All the other things they put for flavor, to put taste to it. But the pickling mainly is by putting it in the water. And that's called kavush. Kavush arehu kimbushal. It's considered like you cooked it. Therefore, if this is kimbushal, when you put two pieces of meat together, something, if you would put one piece of meat, kosher. If you put kosher meat enough to be pickled, you cooked it without kosherizing it, without salt, becomes forbidden. Because exactly, you said the blood will come out and in, into the piece of meat. How long it's considered kavush? This is a mahloket. There is a disagreement between the rabbis. Some they say 24 hours, and some they say 12 hours. By 12 hours becomes pickled, kavush. And therefore, a person must be careful, never to soak it, sure of 12 hours. It has to be less than 12 hours, but of course it will be sufficient if it does. Half an hour softens the meat enough to be able later when he puts the salt, that the salt will kosher it. Okay? This is what we say about kavush. Now, even though I said that you should soak it, but to be careful, never to soak it at least not 12 hours. He said, if he did not soak it, he just washed it, but the avad will be permitted. But the khatrahillah has to soak it up now. But the avad, what's with the avad? If he did already by mistake, he washed it and then he koshered it, so it's okay. How about
taking the meat out of the freezer? And you know, my patients put it on the counter before. You come back and it's ready, you see blood on the plate.
That's water from the
juice. If you, after it's kosher, you mean? You mean after it's kosher?
Yeah.
That's all juice. Once you kosher it, all what comes out that the juice of the meat is considered. There's no more meat,
and
there's no more blood.
Can you drink it?
The question is,
can you drink the juice?
Huh?
The juice?
Yeah.
You can drink it.
Sure, don't you take, you eat it, you cook it, and you, of course.
Juice,
Don't you, I said you take the meat after you go, you put it in the pita, and you see all red, and you're eating?
You can't drink it.
Yeah. That's empty. He has a point. No, he has a point. Sometimes not. Now that you brought the point, I'll tell you. You mentioned before the fish. Blood of the fish is permitted. But still and all, you cannot take the blood of the fish, put it in a glass, and drink it. Why? Mishum mar'it ha'ayin. People, they see you're taking blood and drinking. Unless you put the scales on it.
Or put a sign on the glass.
That's what we are leading to. You put skulls on it, and anybody put the skulls going to drink. And you are going to put something to show that people will recognize them. From this came the idea today. You eat meat, and they will bring you milk. Hey, they tell you pop. Some they insist, be careful. Don't put this pop milk into glasses and bring it. What is the Marit Ayin? You're taking milk. But what should you do? The Shohan Arum brings Halab Shekedim, Shobelos, Halab Shekedim, Ammon's juice, which is exactly milk. And if you put it, Shohan Arum said, you are not allowed to have that Shobelos after meat. Would add some sign in it. What is the sign? So put some Ammon's in it, that people will see the Ammon's. Now, if you leave it with a container of that of the pub, they will know. Kofarich, they know, here it is the pub. That means if you don't, that's why in many, many places in the religious, they leave the kosher, the kofarich, on the table. They tell you with this. They will not bring it into glass and that, but today, they do everything, from one thing to another. Then the Kodesh Shulchan Aruch is not supposed to be in glasses regular to look like milk. Now, with the container that you soak the meat in, it cannot be used for anything else besides soaking the meat. Because many times, since there is a power that goes, and after koshering also you are putting it again to soak it, to wash it, it will have the power to absorb by the power of the salt into the container and not to be used for other things. Of course, you come and say, usually when they soak meat, they use pottery. Used to be pottery.
Pottery?
Yeah, sure.
Pottery?
Always they used to use. Today metal, but in the long ago they used to have pottery. All this.
How about can the blood from the one day come out the next day of the meat? First day you were kosher meat, the blood went into the
You don't
pot.
Leave it dirty, you clean it.
Clean, but it went into the pottery. And now the salt may bring it out of the
walls
again.
No, I said before, it has to take a long time till it comes out. It wouldn't come out right away with cold water, unless with boiling. With boiling will come right away. Now, the question is, he koshered the meat without washing it. He brought it from the butcher, forgot to wash it. And he koshered it. He put salt. What will be the din of this meat? Somebody tells you, so what? Let him wash it again now and salt it again. If the salt is not effective without soaking it, without washing it, okay. There is a way to correct it, to correct his wrongdoing. Somebody say no. Once you salt it without washing it, it's already the meat you did wrong, and you cannot kosher it anymore. Why? As I said before, the salt loses its power by the blood that there is on it that was in reality over there on the surface. And after it loses its power, that derives out. That's right. Blood will go in. And once blood from outside comes in, there's no salt that has power to take it out. The salt will have the power, its natural blood, to come out. But blood that comes in from outside, it's finished. The salt will not take it out. And this was forbidden already. That's why the halakha is mutar, you wash it. But it's better to be careful, since there are many rabbis who forbid it. Now, what kind of salt a person should kosher the meat with? Among the Rishonim, there was a mahloki. Some, they say, you have to have fine salt. Rambam said, no. You have to say what they call coarse salt. Today, you see, all the kosher salt at all, it's known for koshering meat. As you can see it, it's a coarse salt. Not very big, not very fine. Why? They tell you the fine one doesn't have the power, gets only right away, gets swallowed into the meat, and doesn't have the power. Therefore, the coarse is better. Somebody said the opposite. So what? Let it be fine. And the fine be inside, but it takes the blood out. Or bring the blood out. But the halakha is like harambab. What is to have? Coarse salt, which is not too fine and not too big. He said, because too big, why not? Too big is very salty, it's very good. But it will fall out. It will not hold on the meat. But too fine, as I said before, it absorbs the blood and loses its power. How much salt you should put on the meat? You should cover all the surface of the meat from both sides, not one side. It doesn't matter if it is a large piece or a small piece. Here a person comes, common sense, he tells you, no, fine. If the big one that thick like this, it's enough from here to here, how many inches there is, it's enough. But I don't understand why, well, this small won't be enough on one side. But you know, you have to have two sides, no matter thin or thick. And as thick as could be the whole animal. You salt it at once, you could. As long as it is from all sides covered with the salt. How much salt you should put? You should put enough salt that cannot be eaten because it's so salty. When you cover the surface, you can make thickness of 1 inch or that. That's what we need? No. As long as you put enough salt that's considered very salty already, yet you can't eat it because of that salt, that's called enough for kosher. Now many times they take, you know, chicken. They want to say, well, they stuff chicken in the oven. They have to kosher it before they stuff it. You kosher it, it's not enough to kosher it from outside. You have to kosher it also from inside. What happens in this country many times, you want to kosher the chicken. Unfortunately, they give you the whole chicken. When they give you the whole chicken, they give you with the parts. That they leave the parts in the chicken. Among the parts, there are a number of things. With them, the liver. So I say, I put liver, and yeah, you come, you cook it all, you kosher it with the liver in and everything, then the whole chicken will be forbidden, because we need 60 times as much as the liver. They tell you, is there 60 times or not? You have to weigh and to find out if there is 60 times. There are some rabbis that say,
every chicken, impossible that there's no 60 times as much as the liver that there is in it. But some they say, no, could happen. That there is chicken, that the liver would be big, and the chicken not as big, and won't have 60 times. Therefore, they have to be very careful to check that the liver is being taken out before koshering it. Now, if a person koshered a piece of meat, after he koshered it, washed it, he came to cook it, he's cutting it into two pieces and he wants to cook. He should kosher it again? Because he cut it or not? No, we said once he koshered even a thick one, finish the blood is out. He doesn't have to kosher it again. He can cut it as much as... How long does he have to be koshered with the salt? That's Chacham David tell us. How long does he have to put the salt on the meat?
1 hour.
Huh?
How long as you want?
Not as much as you want.
1 hour.
What's the minimum, we say?
1 hour.
If I put 2 minutes, it's good enough?
No, 1 hour.
Oh, 1 hour minimum. Maybe. No, 1 hour on the khatihila, we say. We tell a person, soak it for half an hour, and put salt for an hour. From this now you know, why you know what you said. Ah, now he went back to the female. But, Shulchan Aruch says, if a person, at a time of emergency, what's called emergency? The woman was late, she didn't cook, Friday she was urgently busy with something else, she came very late, and was spoiled all her Shabbat. There's only 2 hours from now to Shabbat. She needs for the cooking 1 hour. Wasn't pressure cooker that done. And she needs for the soaking 1 hour. Where is the kosher for 1 hour? Where is it? They came, they told them, if there is urgent thing, or you have guests coming to you, and you are not ready, you are not prepared. If you have to wait here, you make the guests wait for you 2-3 hours till you will have meat. Then they permitted them that they will have to wash the meat without soaking, and you kosher it 20 minutes instead of 1 hour. Salt, 20 minutes. That is Arab Shabbat, that there is no time. Now, is that clear? Really, I said 20 minutes because that's what we tell all the people. And that's what Shulchan Aruch said, 1/3 of an hour. What is the hour? 60 minutes. Then this is 20 minutes. Is that clear? Almost.
Hey, they can't be honest. Moyani make a habit out of it.
Emergency.
Now, the idea of saying a man or female, he is wrong, but he has something that he learned in his childhood and where it comes from. No, the idea was always the woman made kosher the meat. When did the man kosher the meat? The man kosher the meat on Friday, that the woman, she wasn't home, was in a rush, hurry. Since Friday, even if she would do it, would be the same thing. But he believed only men, no difference man or woman. The difference is if it is Friday or other days, and there is no time, or there is guests coming. When the man comes to help the woman in that, they are hungry something, guests coming. But not because man or woman. The question, what is the demand of the time that he has? Before koshering, after koshering the meat, you want to cook it, you must first of all take all the salt out, wash it, and then cook it. Otherwise the salt is full with blood.
What?
You can't cook it with the
cured
salt.
Meat?
Huh?
What is cured meat? Cured. Meat that is cured. What?
Yeah, but what do you want to know?
Cured meat.
What do you want to know? If it is kosher or what?
What is it?
What's
the cured? Yeah, I mean, it's like that, like fish.
they put it in salt and they pickle it?
But you have to kosher it first, before you pickle it.
Because once you pickle it, then you'll be worse. You don't have to cook it, but you have to make the fish.
بس ما بيصير بلا ما تكشرها لازم تيم الدم قبله all these things that that all preservation that is pastrami and everything you have to kosher it first and then do it you can't do it without koshering first that was will be taref yeah all these things any kind of those preserved meat that there is they have to be first koshered and then preserve it you can't preserve it without Now, sometimes you can eat meat without kosher meat.
You boil it.
Huh?
You boil it?
Very good. You grill it.
Yeah,
grilling is good. You barbecue it. And then you cook.
But right, you take the piece of meat and you're going to grill it, let's say. And you want to put salt on it because the meat itself doesn't have any salt. You want to give it a little salt. Not to grill it, but...
It's okay.
But when you put that salt...
Yeah.
Didn't it stop to draw the blood?
Yeah, it's going to drip out.
So what?
Okay,
no problem.
Nothing.
Many people believe that I saw it here, something in you, in this community. That they told them, when you grill it, you can put salt. Who told them that? You put salt and you grill it. That's the same. The fire is taking the blood out. There's nothing to worry about.
Huh?
Okay.
Whatever you like, whatever you taste.
The fire just throws it out.
So that case you were talking about, where you didn't wash it and you salted it, put it on the fire and you could eat it.
No, I know. I'm speaking about cooking. Uh-huh. I'm speaking about cooking.
Wash it and put it on fire.
Yeah, I'm speaking about cooking. You know, a person many times has meat that he koshered it. And all of a sudden he came home, he sees that his servant, a goy, took the piece of meat, put it in the pot already. He doesn't know, he washed it or didn't wash it. You are in doubt. What do we have to do? We have to ask the goy. Do you trust him or not? If he is your servant, usually he knows that you are particular about this, and there is a Jew coming in and out, you can trust him.
Huh? If he's afraid to lose his job, they'll tell you, yes, I did it. They didn't, maybe you didn't do it.
No. You know, because this miltad avida le'igloye. You know what means miltad avida? This is a thing that will be known to us later. If he would lie to me, he would lose his job. Why? Because he would tell me, yes. And then I taste it, I realize it's salty. You told me, yeah? Get out of here. You lied to me.
But wait, you're talking about a servant. You're talking about a paid employee? Or are you talking about...
It's always here, like the mates that we have today. Yeah, like the mate. Could be also
the
male.
That's why I'm trying to help me. Maybe see what you heavy.
Yeah.
I mean heavy compared.
And Khila Otobisar Hazir.
Huh?
Khila Otobisar Hazir.
Yeah.
Laulam Ayatil Adam Ema Bitok Bito. Sharif Peloni Hitil.
You
should never get mad at them, scare them, because if they get scared out of the head of the family, they do things out of fear, which is absolutely wrong. Now, if a person cooks meat without kosher meat, with salt, what will be now? Throw all the food? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Then comes the question, we go to a rabbi, the rabbi is going to say, what do you have? How much meat did you put in the pot? How much vegetables? How much water? What right. The pot weighs? Any figures? Hadash Shishim, very good. You hear this, the rabbi said, Batel B'Shishim, Batel B'Shishim. What came from Batel B'Shishim? Originally in the Torah, there isn't Batel B'Shishim. In the Torah there is Benoten Ta'am. Once the meat will give taste into the thing, that's called Ta'am Ki'ikara. What means Ta'am? Once there is a taste, just like you have there, Taref itself, you're eating.
And the Hakamim gave you Shi'ur for that.
Came Hakamim and said, suppose if I take something taste of unkosher and I'll put it in so much water, still has the taste? How much would be considered there's no taste anymore? It dissolves, that it's lost, the taste is get lost altogether. Then they told us Shi'ur Shishim. What Shishim? If there is up to 30 times as much water, 40 times as much, 50 times, still there is taste, taste that you can realize. But once you reach 60 times as much, it's already finished. Lost taste altogether. And then will be, therefore the Hakamim, when they figure the 60, they don't forget only the water, vegetables, the pot itself. Altogether, if there is 60 times against the meat, the piece of meat, they put it, will be burned.
That's why you need a Mashgiach immediately. You need a Mashgiach all the time in order to do it. Because Mashgiach, because you put on,
but they are looking for Mashgiach immediately. Would you like to take it down? Really, they are looking for people that will be...
The Quran is full of...